84, it says these words: "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. O Lord Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who've set their hearts on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, O Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, O God of Jacob. Look upon our shield, O God. Look with favour on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tent of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favour and honour. No good things does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless." May God bless his word as we continue to open it up this morning. Amen. Have you ever had one of those moments, or a moment when in life, when you just can't get enough of being in someone's presence? Maybe it was the first time that you clapped eyes on your future spouse and you couldn't wait to spend more time with them, getting to know them. Perhaps it was the first time that you met a person in your field of expertise, of work, who just you knew you needed to spend time with to soak up their wisdom and all of their knowledge. How about someone that you were intrigued by, who lit up the room, who made you feel at ease, and it was so interesting that you just had to get to know them to become their friend? Maybe it's your children and you just can't get enough of their characters, of their personalities, and having fun together. Have you ever had one of those moments where you just want to spend time in someone's presence? Now, I'm sure we've all had those moments, and hopefully these kind of moments are going to be and are a regular part of your life. When we aren't able to spend time with the ones we love and care about, life, I believe, is more difficult, frustrating, and quite often lonely. Why? Because we are all created for relationship with others. We're created to do life together. Without others, it's difficult. We can do life with people from all different kinds of background and experiences, and we are richer for it. The Bible tells us in Genesis 2 verse 18, "Then the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." And elsewhere in Proverbs 17 verse 17, it says, "A friend loves at all times and a brother is born for adversity." That's just a couple of examples of scripture that tells us it's good to do life together. But even more than relationship with each other, however good that is, we're created for relationship with God. That's our primary purpose. Jesus says in Revelation 3 verse 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me." You are called to be in relationship with God, and there's nothing as intimate as having a one-on-one meal together, looking into each other's eyes. If you're married, you probably do that or have done that. Those moments of real personal intimacy. That's what God wants with you and with me, together. See, relationship with God is the deepest, most satisfying bond that we can ever have. To be able to be in God's presence, to learn from him, to talk to him, to be comforted by him, to be challenged and inspired, changes you and I from the inside out. I don't think there's any other relationship in this world that can change you from the inside out, absolutely, completely. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. It's a complete life change. That's what God has got in store for us when we have relationship with him. If there is one person above anybody else in this life that we need to connect with, it is with God. And as you will know, generally when I speak, I have a tagline. Because if you can remember nothing else about this morning, often we can remember the tagline. And the tagline for today's message is this: there is nothing better than being in God's presence. There's nothing better than being in God's presence. If you forget everything else I say, remember that. There is nothing better than being in God's presence. So a few minutes ago, we read Psalm 84, which we're going to dig into verse by verse, all being well, this morning. And we're going to seek to draw out some truths about why being in God's presence really is the best place to be. So in order for us to get a kind of grasp of the context of Psalm 84, I want to be able to just give us a little bit of background info. The psalm was written by a group of people called the Sons of Korah. Back in the book of Exodus, Korah was a man along with his people who had the job in the wilderness of looking after the tabernacle curtains and all the coverings. And whenever they moved from place to place in the wilderness as they travelled around, because they weren't really obeying God and just kept travelling around, they would always move them and have the idea that they had to put them in the right places and to do the right things. The problem was, Korah didn't really like this. And he wanted to be a priest. So in pride, he gathered 250 other like-minded people around him and revolted against Moses and Aaron. Unfortunately for them, God didn't appreciate what they were doing. And they were set aside, it resulted in their unfortunate death. Now, interestingly, Korah's sons, who were likely very young at that time, were spared. And as the years passed, the sons of Korah were set aside by God to become doorkeepers and custodians for the temple. They were known to be great worship leaders in the tabernacle, preparing the way for people to enter into God's presence. You can look at that more from 1 Chronicles 9, verse 19 to 21. That says a little bit about their story. So the sons of Korah wrote a number of psalms, not just Psalm 84. They wrote Psalm 42, 44 to 49, and 85, just to name a few. Now, these psalms show a great depth of love and devotion that these men had for God's presence and the longing that they had for his presence. And I think it's a big challenge for us. I wonder this morning whether you have the same level of devotion to chasing after his presence as the sons of Korah did, who wrote this psalm that we've just read in Psalm 84. Do we understand this morning that there is nothing better than to be in God's presence? Now, Psalm 84 was written, as I said, by the sons of Korah, and it was a song of pilgrimage that would have been sung as worshippers travelled to the temple in Jerusalem. Now, this journey wouldn't have been a quick 5-minute walk around the corner, but a journey that would have been a great distance for many of them, perhaps taking days and not as often arduous, and would have been a lot of problems along the way. Now, the believers would have sung this song to prepare their hearts ready to enter God's presence, allowing expectation and hope to arise as they got closer to Jerusalem. They were longing for what was to come as they met God in his house. I wonder this morning, do you come to church? Did you come to church this morning with that same expectation, excitement, and hope that you would meet with God? Do you prepare yourselves in readiness for what is to come? I don't know about you, but that's a big challenge, isn't it? At times, even just getting to church can feel like a success, especially when you've got kids and they don't do quite what you want them to do. It can be a challenge, can't it? But God wants us as best as we can to prepare ourselves. There's something so important about getting ourselves prepared and ready to be in God's presence. Putting in the effort and understanding what God might have to say to you. Because what he has to say to you this morning, what he has to say to you on any given day, could be complete life change. Could turn your direction of where you're going in a completely opposite direction. As God calls people. The question is, will we prepare ourselves? Do we realise the privilege that we have that stands before us entering God's presence? Because the psalmist understood the beauty and the amazingness of being in God's presence. Are you still with me?
Yes.
Good, good. You're still with me, that's a good thing. So, verse 1 says this, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty." Now, the sons of Korah start off the psalm by recognizing the beauty of God's presence. The psalmist doesn't talk about specifics, yet it's obvious the psalmist loved God's presence. Perhaps they were thinking back to previous times when they'd been in the temple. The sights, the smells, the feelings of contentment and hope. A place to be away from it all, to just be with God. What is for sure is this first verse indicates to us that God's presence is the place where we should want to be. The psalmist certainly wanted to be back there. How lovely is your dwelling place? Because the next verse says it like this. "My soul yearns, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God." This is not a "it would be nice to be back in church" statement. "I haven't seen my friends for a while. It'll be nice to sing some songs. And as long as the preacher doesn't talk for too long, that'll be perfect. And it'll be nice." No, it's not that. Rather, this is a gut-wrenching yearning for God's presence that comes from the depth of the psalmist's souls. Right down, can't read picture, but right kind of right down there. Right in the soul, in the deepest of places. He said, "It's been too long. I need God more than I need anything else." His whole being, is his mind, body and soul need an encounter with the living God. His whole being needs to be in communion with God. And if he doesn't get it, he's not going to be satisfied. You can sense that desperation. It's a cry of anguish. Simply put, he'll only be satisfied when he's embraced by the Spirit of God. When he can sense God speaking to him, ministering to him and connecting him through that heartfelt worship. I know you know this, but I'm going to remind you about this anyway. Church should never be just about programs, entertainment or social connections. But it's about encountering the living God. Let that sink in for a moment. It's not about the entertainment. It's not all about the great music or the friendship connections. It's about encountering and connecting with the living God. The God we're encountering is no man-made idol or a makeshift God. This is the creator of the universe who knows everything about us and has given us the invitation to encounter him and be changed forever. You have an invitation every single day to come before God. It's like every time you walk past those people who give you out an invitation, say, "Do you want to come to this?" God's like giving you an invitation. "You're going to come and see me today." It's an invitation that's open to you. Do you have a hunger for more of God's presence? If you don't have a hunger for God's presence, what's stopping you? What's stopping you from having that hunger? Because there's nothing better than to be in God's presence. Nothing better than to be in God's presence. Verse 3 says, "Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallows a nest for herself, where she may have her young. A place near your altar, O Lord Almighty, my King and my God." For the psalmist, to be in God's presence was everything. They longed for it, not just to be an occasional occurrence, but something they could do daily. The psalmist uses the analogy of a sparrow who would often make their home in the grounds of temples. Sometimes near the altar, and this the place where in the Old Testament the presence of God resided. Now these sparrows would continually be in God's presence. And the psalmist had a kind of a sense of a bit of jealousy, I guess, that he couldn't reside there like the sparrows continuously, to be able to worship and serve the Lord his God all the time. Now the fantastic news in 2023 is that we can be in God's presence continually. I don't just mean on a Sunday, but I mean when you're outside of church. Because unlike the Israelites of the Old Testament, we don't have to wait to go to the temple or church. We don't have to go through the animal sacrifices and purifications to enter God's presence. Instead, because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, his defeating of sin and death and his ultimate resurrection, we can find forgiveness. And the Spirit of God comes to live in us. And we have that invitation internally every single day. I love what Ephesians 3 verse 12 in the New Living Translation says. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. The only thing that stops you or I coming into God's presence, you want to know what it is? You and me. We're the only things that I can put a stopper in the way. Verse 4 to 7. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. For those who enter God's presence, who make that choice, verse 4 and 5 tell us that there is amazing blessing. The term blessed means fully satisfied. How many of you like it when you feel fully satisfied? I do. I like it when I feel fully satisfied. So, firstly, when you enter God's presence, you'll never be left wanting for more. You will be blessed. You will be fully satisfied. The psalmist tells us that those who are in God's presence, in verse 4, will ever praising, thanking God for all he has done for us. It's a natural part of our worship. Without Jesus, we would be nowhere this morning. I want you to just take 10 seconds to think of what he has done for you even today. Let me say it out loud, 10 seconds. What's God done for you today? The idea of ever praising God is a signal towards what it will be like when we're together in heaven, where we will be praising for eternity. When we're in God's presence, we can't help but say thank you. Revelation 7 verse 9 to 10 says, after this is John's vision, after this I looked and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people and language. Standing before the throne and before the Lamb, they were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hand, and they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. When we're in heaven, there will come a time in eternity where we'll be ever praising. We will be fully satisfied and fulfilled all the time. Secondly, the psalmist tells us that being in God's presence helps us when we go through times of trial and crisis. He uses the analogy of the Valley of Baca. Now, this is called the valley or the place of weeping, which describes, I guess, any hard situation that you or I may go through. And psalmist, I've lost my place. We will be fully satisfied, the psalmist says in verse 5 to 7. We will be blessed and fully satisfied with strength when we choose to set our faces towards God. It's that pilgrimage, that journey to becoming more like Jesus. Nothing else actually matters. Even when times are tough, when we face health issues, marital problems, tough moments with our kids, when finances are stretched, when we're exhausted, we will be fully satisfied because we will find our strength in Him, in God's presence, rather than in our own abilities. But we have to choose. It's an action. It's an action. We have to choose to be in His presence to find that strength. On our journeys with God, you don't have to be really, really clever to know that we will face difficulty. But even in the midst of the most desolate of places, we can find peace, security and strength in the arms of Jesus. Being in God's presence doesn't help us escape from our issues, but to live our lives in the world with His power. Being with God is not about running away. Being with God is about being prepared to be out there living for Him. As God told the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9, I think we'd want to remind us as well when we go through these tough times, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." When we choose to stay in God's presence, whatever comes our way, we can handle it. Because remember, when we face valleys, we don't have to stay where we are, because God wants to walk us through, and eventually we'll come out the other side stronger and with a deeper relationship with our Saviour. You will be blessed, you will be fully satisfied if you spend time in God's presence. If you go and watch a football team, you may not be fully satisfied. Kevin and Shaw went to see Southampton this week. He would not be fully satisfied on Friday night. Not at all. Oh, you were working. You probably quite imagine that. But the thing is this. Is the only place you'll be fully, fully, fully satisfied is when you're in God's presence. Verse 8 and 9 says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord Almighty. Listen to me, O God of Jacob. Look upon our shield, O God. Look with favour on your anointed one." At this juncture of the psalm, the psalmist breaks into a kind of prayer which seems a little strange, as it doesn't seem to carry the same theme of the rest of the psalm. But the prayer is one of praying for the king and asking for God to show favour and to lead and guide him in his rulership. Is that kind of random? Well, maybe, but actually, I think it's quite important. Because it serves to remind us of the bigger picture and the need that we have to pray for those who are in authority over us. Our leaders over this country need our prayers at this time. See, the psalmist trusted God not only with his own life, but he makes mention of the fact that he sees the bigger picture of what's happening in God's world. I wonder this morning, do we have that same trust? Do you trust God with your own life as well as trust God with the whole bigger picture of the world in which we live? Verse 10, as we're coming in to finish this morning. "Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked." The psalmist now returns to the message of the importance of being in God's presence, by stating that being in God's presence for just one day, serving as a doorkeeper, is more valuable than 1,000 days elsewhere, where there is the potential to dwell in the wrong places and to do the wrong things. I love what Spurgeon once said about this subject. He says this: "To bear burdens and open doors for the Lord is more honour than to reign among the wicked. Every man has his choice, and this is ours. God's worst is better than the devil's best. God's doorstep is happier rest than downy couches within the pavilion of royal sinners." To be in God's presence, even for a moment, is better than to be living our lives outside of His presence. Verse 11 to 12 then, the final two verses. "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favour and honour. No good thing does He withhold from those whose walk is blameless. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man who trusts in you. As the psalmist draws the psalm to a close, he seeks to bring a reminder to us this morning of who God is. And I don't think there's ever a problem for us to know more and more and more and be reminded more and more of who God is and how good he is. The psalmist says that God is like the sun. God shines his love and provision on us. He is the source of blessing for his children as he shines upon us. He is the shield. He's our protector from the enemy's schemes. Psalm 91 verse 3, surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He's the giver of favor and honor. God is the one who raises us into places of influence, not ourselves. And he's the one that gives us honor as we seek to serve him. He withholds no good thing. God has only got good things for you and me, and he wants to pour out his blessings on you. We love to give our kids good things. I love to give my kids good things. And how much more does the God of the whole universe want to give good things to you and to me? And then finally, he says he blesses those who trust in him. You'll be fully satisfied when you learn to trust in him. And trust is a massive thing. It's going to be a whole different subject altogether. Because it's really hard at times. Because we're so used to being in control. But God wants us to trust him. To give our ownership of our lives over to him. We will be blessed when we trust in him. God's presence is something that is open to everyone who believes in Jesus as their saviour and have accepted his forgiveness. When Jesus died, the curtain of the temple was torn in two, that which once separated us from God's presence. We now have been given a daily opportunity to be in God's presence. The thing that the psalmist longed for the most is the thing that we can have every single day. Why wouldn't we want to be in God's presence? When we know that it's a place where we can find peace and hope and direction, where we can find strength in times of trouble. I guess the problem is at times we can take for granted what stands before us. We get sucked into the business of life. Sometimes we get sidetracked by the things of this world, when actually what we need to remember is that one day in the courts of God is better than 1,000 elsewhere. True value comes from being in his presence. True fulfillment comes from being in his presence. May we be challenged again this morning to step into his presence so that we can discover afresh that there is nothing better than to be in God's presence. Amen? Let's pray together, shall we, as we finish.